At Powerhouse Solar, we understand that each home has unique energy needs. We custom design your solar energy system to not only meet those needs, but to allow for growth, just in case you see a pool, spa, or electric car in your future. Hi, I'm Sue Blake, co-owner of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we are experts at designing and installing quality systems utilizing SunPower Solar. We install the SunPower package because it includes the panels, built-in microinverters, racking, and monitoring. One company and a bumper-to-bumper 25-year warranty. No other solar company compares to SunPower. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the perfect system for your family, and we stand behind our work. Ground rack, roof mount, or pole mount, let us design an energy-saving solar system just right for you. Talk with one of our helpful designers for your free estimate. Call 275-5600 or go to powerhousesolar.com.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to Sports Talk. I'm your host, Connor Sutton. Back after a week hiatus. Last week we had Dan Anderson and Bryce Ritchie co-hosting on the show, and they mentioned our wonderful producer and audio engineer, Jared King, who has been here now at more shows than I have, so they were giving me a hard time for that. That was awesome. Co-hosting on the show today, Sam Comente. So we'll get into a lot of good stuff today. Thanks for joining us today, Sam.
Absolutely. I love to be here.
So I want to start with this today. You know, if you watched the playoffs last night, game six of the Eastern Conference Finals, LeBron James. I mean, I don't like doing Jordan-LeBron comparisons because I just don't think it's fair. It's different eras, different types of basketball. The floor is more spread now than it was back then. There are more shooters, meaning there's more driving lanes. But there are people out there, and I think you're one of them, Sam, who don't fully appreciate how unbelievable LeBron James is. At 33 years of age, what he did last night, literally in his 15th year, had to carry a team. Throughout this entire season, he hasn't missed one game. Hasn't missed one. Played all 82 in the regular season. He's had to carry a team who has struggled offensively, defensively. They've been without a coach for a while. Literally this year, LeBron James has gone through more than he has in his entire career. And yet he is still a game away from getting to the finals. It's just truly incredible. What he can do, in my opinion, he's the most versatile player that has ever played. That's why some people consider him the greatest of all time, because he can do multiple things. Because he can defend out on the perimeter, he can defend in the post, he can block shots down low defensively. Offensively, he can shoot it better from three, better than Michael Jordan could and others back in the past. But the point is, we need to appreciate, before he's gone, his greatness. And we need to appreciate how good he can be at various times in the games. Yeah, we see him take plays off every once in a while, and people are being critical of him because he's tired. He should be tired. Are you kidding me? How many games he's played? How many minutes he's had to put in? How much effort he's had to put into those games because he doesn't have Kyrie Irving or Kevin Love for most of them? This is by far the worst team he's ever had.
Yeah, definitely.
And he might drag them to the finals yet again, and he might have his best year, playoff year of all time again. It just seems like he keeps eclipsing what he's done in years past.
I think you used a word there that kind of explains why I'm not as big on LeBron James. Well, for one, people say you hate greatness, and I'm kind of hating greatness here with LeBron James and how great he is, because you can't deny, obviously, LeBron James is a once-in-a-generation type player.
Oh, absolutely.
My big thing against LeBron James, something that I just don't like, and it's kind of basketball in general that I don't like recently in the past 5 years or so, is that LeBron is dragging his team to the finish line. And I don't like that. I don't like a one-man wrecking crew. It's great to watch LeBron go off and drop 46 points and 11 boards. But at the same time, I also love to see kind of some team play. See LeBron have 46. Kevin Love stay in the game. Obviously, not. He got knocked out with, I think, a concussion. And he drops 25, even though I don't like Kevin Love either. But I don't like how LeBron always has to do everything, because it's like, of course you're going to be good when you drop 30 field goals a game playing 43 minutes. But I would hope you blow up the statue.
But that's because he has to.
I know, but his team sucks.
But he's also being efficient.
Yeah.
And he's also, so you want teams that have better players? Okay, let's look at the Celtics. Let's look at the Raptors. They have better players throughout their team, yet LeBron, who is one person, is still outplaying all of them combined. He literally outscored Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, almost outstatted them, both of them combined in that last series.
That's something that you bring up right there about the Celtics, because they're obviously playing the Celtics right now. I won't go in the Raptors, who just had to fire their coach because they just couldn't capitalize in the playoffs. But the thing I literally tweeted this the other day, is the Celtics are in the conference finals, not going into Game 7 without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward. They're two best players. They're running a lineup that is so unrealistically young with Jason Tatum, who's a star already as a rookie, Terry Rozier coming out of nowhere, scary Terry, nobody even knew who he was, and he's a stud. He dropped like 30 points last night. And this team is playing this well without two stars. They're playing well because they have a bunch of role players, quality players playing together. That's the team I like to root for.
That's
not
fine.
LeBron taking his whole team on his shoulders and saying, let's go far as we can. I'm impressed, but I'm like, really, just go home.
Oh, my goodness. So here's Jordan Clarkson. Think about the second best player. Kevin Love, I guess, is an all-star.
Jordan Clarkson doesn't even play with Tyronn Lue. Doesn't play Jordan Clarkson or Rodney Hood.
Okay, so Kyle Korver then. Think about all these, in my opinion.
Tristan Thompson's played really well with the scandal of all the other women in his life.
Who else has played well for them? Nobody. So LeBron has literally had to, as you said, put the team on his back, which is more impressive than having a bunch of role players like the Celtics are. And don't give me what the Celtics are doing is impressive. Brad Stevens is doing a really good job.
Brad Stevens is the greatest coach in the league right now.
So they're going to be better off in the future because they have all these different guys who can step up. And when they bring Kyrie back and Gordon Hayward back, they're going to be even better. However, what LeBron is doing, and he's done it for so long, but this year especially, is he has had to carry the load offensively, and it wears him out because he can't do as much as what he's been doing defensively. He's had to take plays off. He's had, what did he play, 44 minutes last night?
At least.
It's absolutely insane. And there's nobody else in the league, granted, and nobody else ever who's had to do as much as he's doing right now. Nobody ever. And that's why, in my opinion, he's the greatest. I don't want to do that debate, but I'm just saying, because of what he has to carry offensively, energy-wise, leadership-wise, he's basically the head coach and the GM.
Yeah. Ty Lue's job is one of the easiest in professional sports.
But it's also one of the most criticized, because anytime he does anything wrong, they blame Ty Lue, not LeBron.
Right. LeBron's never going to take the blame.
So, my point is, when you think about the players who you're watching nowadays, I invite you to watch this Game 7 and just, instead of disliking LeBron and thinking, oh man, why does he have to do all this, appreciate the fact that not only he can do it, but he does do it, and that it's going to make an even better Game 7, and if they advance to the finals, which I think they will, the finals is going to be even better.
You think they're going to beat the Celtics on Boston's
It's
going to
be close. I don't know what the spread is on that, but it's going to be close. I think they do.
I think, I don't know, it's tough because LeBron obviously went ballistic last night, and then those two threes, which we haven't talked about towards the end, where the Celtics kept hanging around. That's why I love the team. They were just so gritty.
They're
not going
to
give up, even if it's not on their home court. LeBron's been killing every single guy they throw at him, and he hit those two step-back threes pretty much back-to-back possessions just to put the game on ice, and then had a three-point play later, and it's like, this guy's forcing a Game 7, obviously.
Here's the contingency that the Cavs will win. If LeBron can shoot well from beyond the arc consistently in Game 7, they'll win.
I just, with the Celtics, Brad Stevens is mixing and matching a lot, and he has to do that. I don't know who the best guy is to guard LeBron in a Game 7, a game that you need to win, obviously, to get into the finals. Is Jaylen Brown your best option?
There isn't. The that's the point.
Yeah,
that's,
exactly.
You're making my point for me. Yeah. There's no one who can guard LeBron on the Celtics.
I think Jaylen Brown's their best bet, but they throw a lot of Marcus Morris, who's like a power forward trying to guard the most athletic small forward in history.
Right. So LeBron's too powerful for Jaylen Brown. He's too quick for Marcus Morris. And that's the problem. That's why he's a matchup nightmare. That's the reason why if the Warriors advance to the finals and the Cavs.
Kevin Durant's like the only one that
can probably Kevin Durant compete. Is one of the main guys who can guard him. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Western Conference Finals. We have some baseball to get to today. We'll talk about the Colt 45s that will have open tonight, after a rainout last night. So stay with us. We'll be right back on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
Hey, this is Kenny Breedlove at Market Street Steakhouse. On behalf of Wes and I want to personally thank all the first responders, including fire, police, and medical. All of us at Market Street Steakhouse appreciate all you do.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Astronaut Bob McGraw here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great planning, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Sure and simple. Naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the airwaves, is ground zero for the renaissance of downtown Reading. Our state-of-the-art on-air studio is under construction right now, so you might hear a bit of hammering in the background. We're upgrading our sound and control systems, so you may occasionally hear a little glitch, but bear with us, we will keep it to a minimum. And we will be expanding our presence with an FM channel and an exciting launch into video on YouTube Live. KCNR, Free Fire Radio. Join in the conversation.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Segment two here, Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. I'm joined by my co-host, Sam Clemente, and, of course, the wonderful Jared Kings, our producer. All right, let's talk a little bit about we'll get into the Eastern Conference Finals a little bit more, but let's dig into the Western Conference Finals. So coming up is Game 6, and I believe that's tonight, is it?
It is tonight, yeah.
But without Chris Paul, he's out with a hamstring injury?
Yeah, right at the last moment of the game, too, final minute.
A strange play on a little fadeaway floater. He kind of just came down on his, I think it was left leg wrong. And the strangest thing for me was that they didn't foul, they didn't try to get back on defense.
They could have cost themselves a game.
Oh, absolutely. It was 5-on-4 in the other direction. And I'm thinking, I know he's hurt, and I know, you know, you poor Chris Paul, like you don't, he probably couldn't get down the floor, otherwise he would have.
If he ran, he probably would have tore something maybe, potentially.
But my thing, like the rest, to foul somebody. Like,
yeah.
Otherwise, luckily Quinn Cook missed that three.
I was going to say Quinn Cook was the one that ended up taking the shot, which is what, probably if you would choose.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably him.
He hasn't been doing much since the playoffs started.
Tough for him.
You're right.
I agree.
But he actually matched up with Chris Paul decently down the stretch. He was one of the only guys who could actually end up guarding him. So if Chris Paul does come back for Game 7, because I believe you and I would both agree to this, that now that Chris Paul's out for Game 6, it's pretty much a lock for the Warriors to win Game 6 and force a Game 7.
I agree, yeah, and it's going to be kind of the same situation, obviously, with the Celtics going back to there, going to go back to Houston, play the Game 7. But I won't discard the Rockets right away just because a lot of the time my buddy said this thing to me about how Chris Paul's not playing, so you know they're not going to win that game. Well, okay, that'd be huge if they really ran Chris Paul a lot as a point guard. They don't. James Harden runs that offense, and now you play Eric Gordon off ball, maybe Ryan Anderson, who hasn't played much, who's healthy, Sacramento native.
I think he's hurt.
No, he missed so much time that they haven't played him. But you might see him out, and he can stretch the floor and make it a little easier for Harden. So I won't discount it because they ran a lot without a true point guard. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. Because who matches up now against Steph Curry? Because Chris Paul's been doing a good job.
Yeah, well, and here's another thing to think about, too, is if James Harden's going to be carrying the load in Game 6, he's going to be exhausted for Game 7.
Yeah.
Because if they want to win Game 6, which, let's be honest, I bet you that the Warriors are going to be favored by double digits or close to it. Because Chris Paul being out.
And they're on
their home floor.
Yeah.
So, and we know they play better on their home floor. Now, I said this, I don't know, a month and a half ago. I said the Warriors are going to the finals if they are injury-free. That hasn't been the case. They've been banged up a little bit. Steph Curry has not 100%. Klay Thompson not
100%. I don't think Iguodala is going to end up playing.
I don't know if he's going to play.
Still questionable.
Yeah, so, and that's a big blow. No one really talks about
how important that is. Obviously, they know it's important just defensively.
Right.
But what Iguodala does is he adds a guy into the rotation. So Steve Kerr in Game 6 went deeper into his rotation because he realized in Game 5 when he didn't have Iguodala, that or they didn't have him as much, that they played 7-man. They realized, we can't do this because the Warriors were exhausted by the time it was midway through the fourth quarter.
That's when we saw Quinn Cook get thrown into the fire.
So these guys are going to start adding into the rotation. So by the time Game 7 comes around, the Warriors are going to be better rested than the Rockets. The Rockets are going to hopefully have their energy hyped up because they're playing at home, and obviously they want to take all. But here's another thing, too, is I have been kind of disappointed with this series. And I mentioned this. I tweeted this the other night, and you tweeted me back saying that this is exactly what you wanted, which was a good scrappy game. When I think of these two
and
teams,
a Rockets win for sure.
Well, I don't care too much about who wins the series.
Yeah,
but I would want from these two teams. We've been talking about how good their offense is all year, and the Warriors' defense has been good this year too. I mean, it always has been. But I'm saying specifically, we've talked about how great these offenses are, and how. But we haven't seen a stretch of basketball yet. To me. That has lived up to my expectations of how good this series is supposed to be.
Between these teams, how
and
they play.
Yeah, and because they're so fast-paced and there's so much threes, I want to see a back-and-forth, even if it's a short period of time, a back-and-forth where both teams are hitting threes and they're not missing. And we saw a little bit of that in Game 1, and Game 1 got me so excited. If it got close down the stretch, the Warriors kind of pulled away in Game 1. But it's kind of disappointing to see the Rockets go to this isolation, and when they've gone to this isolation style of play, that's when they've struggled, and that's what they're going to have to do in Game 6 without Chris Paul. But we'll go to a pick and roll and try to get a switch and then have James Harden with a mismatch. That's what they've been doing all
or
series
long. Alley-oop to Capella.
Right. And my issue with that is when they do that in Game 6, it's not going to work as well as they have been when they pass the ball around and they do facilitating to the other guards, shooters and things like that. So it's a little bit different for the Rockets. But when you talk about the Warriors coming into Game 6, they have their momentum is going to be back. They're going to be playing on their home floor. We all know how tough it is to win for a road team at Oracle Arena. So the Rockets are either going to have to, and a lot of times we see teams in Game 6 just kind of roll it in anyway. They basically just want to get back to Game 7.
Right.
So that very well could be. I predict the Warriors are going to just absolutely roll the Rockets in Game 6.
I have a tough time saying that because in this series, different than the Celtics-Cavaliers, we've seen it's obviously not been to the level in which you're saying you wanted to see it, but these games have been a lot more competitive, a lot closer, whereas it seems like every other game between the Celtics-Cavaliers, the Cavaliers are destroying the Celtics.
I mean,
it's like a blowout. And then the first two games were blowouts by favor of the Celtics. And that series, I haven't really been a fan of that series, just because the games haven't even really, I feel like the games haven't even been that close.
Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, I don't think the games have been that close for the Rockets and Warriors. But
the last game was a great game, right down to the wire.
It was down to the wire, but it was not good basketball. A lot of turnovers, a lot of missed shots. I mean, both teams were sloppy. It kind of looked like a regular season game that wasn't all that important. I mean, we usually see a better game on Christmas Day between these two teams. Like, Game 5 was not the game that America deserved. When Chris Paul got moved to the Rockets, in our minds, every basketball fan's thinking, man, the Rockets and Warriors series is going to be epic. And the problem is I don't think this series has quite lived up to that expectation because we haven't had the offensive firepower we thought consistently from both teams to where we've seen both teams on fire at the same time. I hope it happens in Game 6 or Game 7, but to me, it's just, if it hasn't happened yet, something's going on. And you know what it has been? I think, honestly, both teams' defenses have stepped up huge. In games the Rockets have won, their defense has been good. In this last game, in Game 5, Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets' defense clamped down on the Warriors. Did a good job
of being... Never thought I'd say those words, Mike D'Antoni and defense, in the same sentence.
But they've been physical with the Warriors, and the Warriors don't like that.
Yeah.
Steph Curry's not a physical guy. Kevin Durant's not a physical guy.
Kevin Durant's skinny.
Right, they both are.
Yeah, they're not muscular. They're not. Right. They don't want to back you down.
So I'm saying if the Rockets are extremely physical, and even if they pick up a couple cheap fouls and things like that, if they're physical in Game 7 with the Rockets or with the Warriors, I think they have a good chance to be successful. They're playing on their home floor. They're playing in front of their fans. And Toyota Center has been great as of late as far as when the Rockets are in the postseason, as far as getting excited and hyped up. They're not quite the Oracle yet.
Now, during the regular season, I remember they were dead. It was like the team wasn't a 60-win team when teams would go to play in Houston.
But, so I think...
Can I give my prediction?
Sure,
for
go for it. I was just going to ask you.
Yeah, because I think I'm going to go a little bit more bold. I don't want to have – it would be great, honestly, to have two game sevens.
It would be.
It would be fun. That would be exactly what you'd expect between these. These are the top four teams.
It'd be really good for the NBA,
It would be really good for the NBA. I'm going to go ahead on a limb and just say, if I am right about Ryan Anderson being healthy but just not having been playing, I think he's going to be reincorporated into the lineup now because they need another guy in the rotation. He's a really good stretch forward and a three-point shooter, which will help. And I think you'll see a lot of Gerald Green, who is – a little bit overwhelming at times with how good he really thinks he is, but he also can surprise you and hit a lot of shots in a row.
And he's athletic.
And he's super athletic. And I'm going to go ahead and say the Rockets run a lot with James Harden and get more contribution because they need to without Chris Paul from their secondary players, and they pull out a really marginal victory in Golden State.
Okay.
And take it to the finals.
In this series, we haven't seen James Harden play all that well.
James Harden was horrible in Game 5.
Right.
He missed a lot.
So...
That's why it's a bold prediction.
Okay.
Like now he's going to catch fire.
Okay.
Chris isn't here.
Now, would you agree with this? If the Rockets lose Game 6, James Harden's going to be gassed because he's going to have to do everything in Game 6.
I would say the pressure is definitely on, which is why there's got to be a sense of urgency from the Houston side. We got to win this game here. Otherwise, we don't even know for sure if Chris Paul's going to be back for Game 7
right.
or 1.
That's a good point.
We don't know how bad his hamstring is. And then you guys are all going to be tired because now we're down a guy. We're having to kind of mix and match our rotation. We need to take care of business now and just get it on.
And Ryan Anderson is a forward.
He's a four.
So I don't know if the rotation will shift up to where Chris Paul, who's a point guard,
they don't have another point guard on their roster.
Right.
They don't really have a backup point guard. Their backup point guard was like Eric Gordon, pretty much.
Which, he can still run it. I'm just saying, I don't know if Ryan Anderson will be that fill-in guy. I don't know where they're going to make the rotation
changes. I think the shift up would be you trying to find more scoring, because now you don't have Chris Paul, so who can we bring in that can score for us, who hasn't been playing, which I would say would be Ryan Anderson, because he can shoot a bunch of threes.
We haven't seen Clint Capella playing down the stretch at the Rockets Center. Do we think
he misses a ton of free throws,
he misses a lot of free throws, right. So I'm saying, in Game 6, are they going to have to stick with him down the stretch?
Yeah, I would say so. Because he's so good. He dominated for stretches of that Game 5.
Right.
Because that's the one weakness that's always been the Warriors' weakness. Like you said, they're not a physical team. They're especially not a physical team down low. Draymond Green doesn't even like to play down low, it seems like, anymore. He wants to be out near the perimeter shooting shots.
Draymond just likes to – he's that guy – he's that bully or that guy who fights. So he'll throw a punch and then run away.
Yeah, he's kind of like a fake bully.
Yeah, exactly.
He like masquerades as a real big tough guy, but he's kind of just a teddy bear.
Yep. And he's only 6'10", 6'11". So when you put him down low with these – taller, lengthier guys, he struggles.
Thicker guys, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. He struggles. And he's not quite the rim protector that the Warriors... I don't even think he's 6'10". I think he's around 6'8", actually, now that I think about it.
He came out as a small forward, I remember.
Yeah.
And then they just beefed him up and put him as
a
four.
And so basically, Kevin Durant has turned into this rim protector for the Warriors.
Right.
The problem is when he's guarding perimeter players, how is he supposed to do both? I mean, you can't have a rim protector who's also out on the perimeter playing defense. So, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Kevin Durant's been the MVP of that team this year, though.
He has been, but he
without him, with Steph being hurt, man, he's been unreal.
You're right, but this Game 6 and Game 7 is crucial for his career because people have been knocking him a lot about not stepping up in big moments, and now with the Steph and Clay, they're both not 100%. It's his game to go win, and they have probably three future Hall of Famers on this team, maybe four if you count Draymond Green, even though I don't agree with it.
Yeah, too early for that, I'd say.
But two of the three best shooters of all time. And Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Durant's probably up there, too, in the top 10.
Yeah.
But so they have all these guys, and if Durant, who's going to have to carry the load in Game 6 and Game 7 probably, is unable to do so with all this talent, I think it's going to be time that we take a look at Kevin Durant and say, all right, why are you so good in certain situations but not good in clutch situations? I mean, think about, he should have had the ball down the stretch in Game 4.
Yeah.
And the fact that he didn't, I don't know if it's not, he's just not a leader enough to where they want to give him the ball. I don't know what it is.
I think Steve Kerr might he's obviously going to favor Steph in situations, bigger situations, or the guys he's more familiar with. Obviously, Kevin's only been there for a year.
Right, but I disagree with that because Kevin Durant can create a shot better than anybody in the league.
I would give the ball to Kevin Durant.
Yeah, and get a good look. So, and they talked about it in the post-game press conference where they said they're going to start getting Kevin the ball much more on the low block because he had a mismatch all day because you can't guard Kevin Durant down
there. There's nobody but LeBron, probably, that could legitimately guard Kevin Durant. Trevor Reese can't do much against him.
Right, but Trevor Reese is a pretty
he's their best option.
Yeah.
When they're putting Tucker on him, I'm shaking my head like that's not even fair.
They put P.J. Tucker on him when he goes down low, and then out on the perimeter they put Trevor Reese on him.
True.
The problem is you can't switch very much against the Warriors because they have so many offensive firepower, so many offensive players who are versatile. So that's what's tough about playing the Warriors. But the Rockets did a really good job of being physical in Game 5. If they do it again in Game 6, think they're in for a good stretch. However, as I mentioned, if they don't win Game 6, I'm worried because going back to Game 7, the Warriors have more experience. Although they're on the road, the Warriors have done it before. They've been in this situation. They know what to do. And I think they'll probably pull it off.
Can I say this one more thing? Sure. I know we probably got to go to break. Mike D'Antoni, the coach of the Rockets, I think this guy deserves to be in an NBA finals. He's a revolutionary head coach. And they wrote an article recently about all the great things he did as a Suns coach, just bringing a whole new era of basketball into the NBA before
with
it was
Steve
even a thing.
His GM, by the way.
Yeah, he had a great thing going, and then the Knicks and the Lakers were just, that was bad situations. I think this guy is a great offensive mind and a coach that deserves a chance to try and get a title.
All right, fair enough. We'll be back. We'll take a break. This is Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. I have a question for all of you who are concerned about the future of our country. Is it your desire that the youth of today be the future safeguard of our constitutional republic and our Christian heritage? Our youth and adults are being deceived into believing the big lie, and that is, there is no God nor life after death. No wonder they have lost all hope. Only in having a true relationship with Jesus Christ can you know the truth that will make you free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab, faster for less.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the airwaves, is ground zero for the renaissance of downtown Reading. Our state-of-the-art on-air studio is under construction right now, so you might hear a bit of hammering in the background. We're upgrading our sound and control systems, so you may occasionally hear a little glitch, but bear with us, we will keep it to a minimum. And we will be expanding our presence with an FM channel and an exciting launch into video on YouTube Live. KCNR, Free Fire Radio. Join in the conversation.
NHL star Matt Martin for American Humane.
Hi, I'm Matt Martin, and in all my years of playing professional hockey, I've gotten my share of bruises and injuries. But for many who really put their lives on the line every day, it's not always the injuries you can see that hurt the most. I'm talking about our veterans. Every single day, 184 veterans are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. And tragically, 20 take their own lives. When medications and therapy don't help, professionally trained service dogs can. American Humane, serving the U.S. military for over 100 years, has put together a free guide to help veterans obtain these life-saving service animals. If you are a veteran or know a veteran struggling with PTS, please go to AmericanHumane.org for this free, downloadable resource. Let's give our veterans the help they need to win their battle.
For more information, visit AmericanHumane.org.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Segment 3 here on a Saturday morning. May, 26th, I believe?
Yeah, that's right. Doesn't feel like a May 26th, though.
It doesn't. Yeah, rain yesterday. The Colt 45's opening day got rained out, which I was supposed to broadcast, and Jared was supposed to be here in the studio. So we got the night off. And now tonight, 7:15, first pitch for Colt 45's against the Santa Rosa Rosebuds, who, by the way, don't have anything on their roster. So that'll be fun. Bryce Richie will be on the call tonight. I will be back for tomorrow's game. That'll be a 6:15 first pitch time against the Rosebud. And then Monday, Bryce will be back on it again. So a little three-game series, kind of. Actually, a two-game series with the Rosebuds. And then Monday, they play against the Reading Ringtails, which my good buddy Derek Kuhn plays on. So that'll be exciting. Let's dig into baseball a little bit.
Sure.
You know, this is a little bit of a local program. We want to talk a little about the local teams, the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland A's. I know you did some research on it, so.
Didn't really need to. I follow both.
Right. So, same.
Big Giants fans.
Yeah. So the Giants are, what, three games back in the NLS?
I think about that. They're 3 games under 500 now.
Yeah.
They've lost
straight. They went 5-10 the last 15. This is before, I think, 2 games ago. And in that stretch, when they went 5-10, they picked up 2 games in the NLS. So the Diamondbacks have not been good lately.
They just won last night, the Diamondbacks. They get the A's. But, yeah, no, the great thing is the Giants have not been playing well as of late, which I'll talk about in a sec. I think I know why. But the NOS has not been playing well either.
Right.
So they're still in it, and it's early. It's not even June. And a big thing for the Giants, I think, if you're going to hand it over to me and there's something wrong with this, because I'm obviously big Giants fan, watched them all season, really, except for some of these games that get pretty ugly. They've had a couple games where it's just like, oh, why am I watching this?
Yeah.
Pitching's been an issue, which it was insane, the fact that they were able to last about a month and a half into the season pitching well. People were throwing up stats about, hey, the Giants are eighth in the NL in ERA.
Right.
And we're like, okay, that's not that bad. But what happened recently, I think, that turned the tide for it is obviously Madison Bumgarner's been out all season because he got hurt in spring training. The good thing was the Giants had prepared themselves in this rotation with two aces, with Johnny Cueto still in place. And Johnny Cueto was pitching unreal.
Yeah, I love watching Johnny Cueto pitch.
I love Johnny Cueto, too. And I actually was at the last game he ended up pitching, and it's like, after the game, when I heard that he was hurt, I'm like, what are you talking about? He just went 6 shutout innings. How is he hurt? And so now he's going to be gone. He doesn't need Tommy John, they don't think, thankfully. But he's going to be out for a while. And I think since Johnny Cueto's been out, that's why the Giants have started to crumble, because now there is literally no legitimate ace in this rotation, which means these mid-tier guys are all like...
Well, these AAA guys.
Are trying to do way too much. And I heard a stat from one of the Giants beat writers who threw it out that this past... cycle through the rotation was now the second time the Giants have gone through the whole rotation without any of those guys producing quality starts, going 5 innings. Not a single one of them lasted 5 innings, which is horrible.
That is bad.
It's amazing that they even won a couple of those games. So Bumgarner is thankfully on the fast track to getting back.
I think he's pitching in Sacramento.
Yeah, he's pitching in Sacramento, and he had a simulated game in Houston against some of the batters for the Giants. So he'll be back in the next week or so is what that timetable is, because he could be activated today. I think actually this is the date, but they won't do it just yet. But they need him. They need him back pronto. Melanson being put in the bullpen, if he's healthy and he's close as well, that shortens the game a little bit to have another guy, because their bullpen's actually been really good this year.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, Will Smith has been good other than last night.
He got roughed up, but that's first earned runs he's given up.
Chris Stratton has been all right. I think he pitched yesterday.
Stratton has been a guy that I think has... because of Cueto's injury, since then has started to falter, because now he's like their ace, essentially. If you're going to name an ace, you probably make it Chris Stratton, and he has crumbled now that he doesn't have a little bit of support in front of him.
But the Giants' offense has been good. So that's
Giants
the one
offense
thing.
Has been weirdly good. Yeah,
Ortiz
Hernandez is now their everyday center fielder with 5 home runs. He had no home runs last year.
Yeah, so I actually really like the way he's playing, because he's basically filling in for Austin Jackson,
who has been a disappointment.
Yeah. But, he was, I think, a $3 million deal. It was a real small deal.
It wasn't much of money invested.
But with McCutchen, who hasn't been great, he's at, like, 240.
He's going to get better as the season.
Yeah, he is.
He always does. It's like how he plays.
But Brandon Belt's been unbelievable. This is his best year as a pro so far.
They always talk about, every year you hear the Giants, anyone in the Giants organization say, Brandon Belt's a stud. You haven't seen it yet, because he always gets hit randomly with a baseball and misses 2 months.
Yeah.
But Brandon Belt is insanely good, and he's already got 11 home runs, I think. He's on pace to hit almost 40 home runs, which... we've been waiting for this Brandon Belt.
Right.
Forever.
I've been very critical of Brandon Belt.
I have been as well.
I thought if he couldn't hit a belt high inside fastball forever. So I was not
playing,
a fan.
You doing a play on words there? Belt high?
Oh, I see. No, I wasn't. But yeah, the Giants offense has been good. Evan Liguori's helped. They've had even their pinch hitters have been good. But like Nick Hundley's been good.
Yep. Had a walk-off not too long ago with the Padres.
Gorky's. So these guys are filling in spots when Posey has a day off and plays first or whatever they end up doing. They have holes that they're filling nicely. Kelby Tomlinson hasn't been great since
Panic
camp.
Panic's been hurt, too.
So
they haven't had a break.
They really haven't. Well, nobody in the NL West has. The Dodgers have gone through more injuries than anybody. The
Dodgers lost, like, the whole starting lineup.
So the D-backs are probably right. If there were betting lines right now, I don't know exactly what they're, but I'm assuming the D-backs are in first place.
Yeah, I'd say the D-backs are going to win the division.
Probably the favorite to win the division. However, but when you get into the playoffs, I mean, none of that really matters because it's all about one. I mean, it's game by game at a time, at bat by at bat, and that's what's great about Major League Baseball. The baseball playoffs are so intense, but I made a point a couple weeks ago, Sam, saying that something we have to do something about Major League Baseball's and how the length of their games to shorten them drastically so we don't start losing the younger crowd. The younger crowd that is younger than you and I.
Right.
Because when I was growing
boring.
Up,
you know, after
yeah,
a while.
Yeah, it's hard for me to watch. I can't imagine someone growing up who's 13, 14, who has a shorter attention span than I do, trying
plays
to watch.
Baseball, loves it, but
right.
then tries to sit through
nine
tries
innings. To watch it, yeah. Because when you go to a baseball game, you go to watch, say you go watch the Colt 45s, you go watch the Giants, go watch the A's, like, it's entertaining. Yes, you can watch it, but there's also other things going on. But when you go to commercial break in baseball, it's just like, oh, my goodness. We've had three innings of no hits, no scoring. We've seen nothing happen.
Right.
There's been no action. And that's what we want is action.
Yeah. So you want the 11-12 game, 12-11 game. You don't want the 0-0 inning
game. Exactly. So
the pitcher's duel.
But the Giants, yes, they have been okay. They're sitting in a good spot for when all these guys come back from injuries. They can hopefully hit the ground running. But
that was the whole goal, I think. When Bumgarner got hurt, and it was clear that they were not going to catch the breaks they were hoping. The goal was, I at least set the goal for the Giants, you got to stay at or around 500 till Bumgarner gets back. And then, of course, Panic got hurt and Melancia got hurt. Both are guys that Panic's blowing out his timetable to come back.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable. He's already hitting the ball. So they expect him back much sooner.
Well, and he was really hot when he came in.
Yeah.
And
Alan Hansen, it's just the Giants. Like, Alan Hansen gets a chance. He's a former top prospect with the Pirates. He plays second base for Joe Panic, and we're not even missing Joe Panic because Alan Hansen's tearing it up.
Yeah.
And then he hurts himself, and it's like, of course, this is just how it goes.
Yep, it's a long season. All right, what about the A's?
The A's, yeah, we don't want to forget about the A's. A's have had a really good year, and I like it when the A's are good. It's better when both Bay Area teams can be competitive.
Yep.
And it's been a long time coming. You know, they're always playing the money ball scheme, and never, you know, they never differentiate far from that. And right now, I think they're 26 and 25, so they're game over. They're playing a division that they're not going to win. They're not going to win that division, but they can potentially get a wild card, especially with the AL Central being horrible.
Right.
The Twins and the Indians have been not good, and we never expected the Royals and Tigers to be good. The AL is an interesting conference in general.
Division.
I guess it's a conference. American League, right? Now we have to think about what it's called. Because the AL East is stacked, except for the Orioles. I think all those teams are pretty good. Even the Blue Jays, who are a little bit scuffling. And the AL West now has the Angels and the Astros. Angels have been unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's great, because if baseball deserves anything, it's Mike Trout in the postseason.
Yep.
But,
and Albert Pujols, too.
And Albert Pujols, who's a great player, Hall of Famer. But for the A's, the big thing for them, and I took a little bit of notes down, is they obviously have a young core that they're revolving around, specifically batters, hitters that are super young. What they need to do, Jed Lowry's had an unreal year, just out of nowhere. Great for them, because he's trade bait. Now, because they don't need more middle infielders. They have so many middle infielders, young guys. They need the Mats, is what I wrote down. The Mats to step up. They need Matt Olson at first and Matt Chapman at third, who are guys they want to play at those positions for the next 10 years. They're both very good defenders. Matt Chapman's unreal defensively. Probably could win a Gold Glove. Neither of them are hitting above 240. Neither of them have double-digit home runs. That's what they wanted from those guys, specifically the home runs. Matt Olson was supposed to be a 30-home run guy.
Right.
And he has like 8 right now, which is not good enough. So they need more of those guys. They need more production in the outfield, where they've always been kind of rotating guys these past couple of years just because they've been trying to find a piece. Pitching is the big thing, though. Bullpen's been great. They built a bullpen to extend games, to lengthen or shorten the time as much that they need to have a starting pitcher in there. They need starting pitching help. They have Trevor Cahill pitching.
Yeah.
They have Brett Anderson. They're trying to throw it back to 2012 with these guys.
Right.
They need starting pitchers.
Here's
to step
the issue
up.
With the A's, though, is that they have all these guys who, as soon as they get good and they want these big contracts, they're just going to trade them. Or the year before.
It's a bummer.
It's just this
ongoing
cycle
for
A's fans where we get to watch these guys who are very talented and play well, and then all of a sudden, oh, they're gone. Jonas Cespedes. You have, I mean, how many different times has it happened? It's happened so many times, it's unbelievable. So I honestly feel for Ace fans because you fall in love with this player, and then all of a sudden, oh, he's playing for the Yankees, or he's playing, who, it doesn't matter who it is. It's always somebody new.
They need to, if they really want to compete, they need to trade in now while Jed Lowry's hitting like 330 and get themselves a legitimate starting pitcher. Because if they really want to compete for a wild card, they need starting pitching.
All right. We'll talk more about the Western Conference Finals, or the Eastern Conference Finals, coming up after the break. This is Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Welcome back. Final segment here on a Saturday morning on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. I'm joined by the always wonderful Jared King, our producer, and, of course, co-host today, Sam Comente.
I'm not always wonderful?
No.
All right. Well, honesty is the best policy.
I try and, I didn't do it this week, but I try and do as much as I can to make Jared seem as just unbelievable as possible, because he does a lot for me. Yeah. So,
he picked out a great song to end with, too. I'm excited.
He did. So, a couple weeks ago, Sam, I was, I had four different adjectives to describe Jared, all positive. And except for there's a couple what I they were so, I guess, tough for me to pronounce because I had never seen them before. Anyway, I don't remember what they were. But all right, so
I bet Jared remembers.
Was it callous? Oh, bodacious was one. I know that one though.
Callous is not a positive.
No, it wasn't callous. I think I had callous and I changed it.
Yeah, that's like you're rude or
no
mean. Was callous.
My favorite is lovable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my favorite, Jared.
I get that vibe.
Oh.
Exactly. See, doesn't that just want to make you? It just makes you want to give him a hug.
Yeah.
All right. So, Eastern Conference. I'll get into this real quick. We'll talk about the NBA draft briefly as well.
Sure.
So let's. I'm curious as what you think is going to happen in Game 7.
We're circling back to where we started. I like it.
Yeah.
About the Eastern Conference Finals. I try not to be biased because, again, I don't want to see the Cavs in the finals. I want to see two different teams.
This is where you and I differ. So
exactly.
You don't want the Warriors and Cavs.
I don't want the fourth appearance in a row of the Cavs and Warriors. And I don't think both of them will make it. I think one of them will be sent home by the end of this. But Game 7 is going to be tough. I just, going based off how I've seen the Celtics play on their home court in front of those crazy Boston fans, I'm going to go ahead and say that the Celtics win in a very good game. And LeBron's going to do a lot. But if Kevin Love's not playing, which if he does have a concussion, he's not going to be back, I don't think, with a game off. I mean, they have
travel
to play tomorrow.
They play
Sunday. So if he has like a legitimate concussion, there's no way. Unless you want him to go brain dead on the court.
Yeah, no.
And that's going to be tough. They played well. I think that's a reason why LeBron got like so furious, it seemed like. Is he knew Kevin Love wasn't there. And he's like, I got to do a lot. So he did.
He's going to have to do more.
He's
going
to have to do
even
more is what I'm saying. And that helps in Brad Stevens' mind because now it's like if we know Kevin Love's not playing, everything is on LeBron. Not like it wasn't already. But you did need to send a little bit of help out to Kevin Love.
Uh-huh.
And now it's like don't even worry about, you know, George Hill. Like let George Hill do
George
it.
George Hill played well last night,
he
by
did,
the way.
That's what I'm saying. But focuses on LeBron and keeping him out of the
paint. So let me ask
you,
why don't you want to see Warriors Cavs? Because in my mind,
right.
Like when the Lakers and the Celtics were going to the finals every year in the late 80s, mid to late 80s,
yeah.
To me that was like a great, like an unbelievable period of basketball.
Sure.
Because you have these two rivalries that you don't see them play each other very much. We've seen the Warriors win two, the Cavs win one. And every year, it's been a pretty epic series. Last year, it wasn't as epic, only went to five games, but the Warriors were just so dominant. But I think this year, whichever team goes to the finals in the West, because I thought coming into this playoffs that the West was going to dominate whenever they got to the finals, either it was the Rockets or the Warriors, but both teams are banged up.
Right.
So now when they get to the finals, Kevin Love will probably be back. If they make the finals, they'll be back. The Celtics are in good shape. So it's going to be a better finals than I think we all thought it was. So that's why this is the first time I think probably ever that I don't really care who makes it from the East and the West, because out of these four teams, I think no matter what, we're going to have a pretty decent series.
Yeah, I think the big thing I don't want it again is two reasons. Like you said, the Warriors 1-2, the Cavs 1-1. All right, so we did our best of three. Now we know the Warriors, we can say, are the superior team, which they are. Well, I don't need to see a fourth appearance between them to know that the Warriors are a better team. So let's go ahead and nudge that under the rug and say that was a lot of fun while it lasted. I think, in my opinion, what makes baseball so great, what makes football so great, is that every year you're getting someone different. Obviously, the NFL has consistently had the Patriots, which I think will slowly start to go away as Bill Belichick and Tom Brady's relationship deteriorates. Tom Brady's now 41. He thinks he can live forever. It's not the case. No matter how much
he drinks a lot of kale.
Yeah, no matter what you're putting in your body. I know you got phenomenal shape. But the MLB in particular, we haven't had a rematch of any, or even the same team, and I don't even know how long. It's been a different matchup, two different teams every year the past 5 years at least, as far as I can go back.
Well, basketball, I believe.
And it's good for the sport, I think, when you see different teams and you can build up those fan bases in those cities and make them excited. If we're just hyping up Oakland and Cleveland over and over and over, those sports towns have enough going for them, I think. Cleveland's got a lot going on. They had the Indians in the World Series. The Browns.
But up until 4 years ago, Cleveland was horrible at everything. So
And Boston specifically, too, is a sports town that has a lot going for them. But they haven't had the Celtics in the finals since 07, right? Or no, they made it the year after.
They won in 07.
They won in 07 the first year, and then they made it back and lost to the Lakers.
Lost to the Lakers in 08.
So I just think the best thing for people that aren't diehard Warriors Celtics or Warriors Cavs fan is a different team.
As a basketball fan, I just want the two best teams. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
So that's where my
thinking
is.
And you think
the
Cavs are a better team than the Celtics?
Well,
the Warriors are even a better team than the Rockets?
Honestly, I don't know. Right now,
Those are the two best teams, technically. The number one seeds are the Rockets and the Celtics. Those were the number one seeds.
The Celtics were a three seed.
Celtics were the number one seed. The Raptors were number one. You're right. I'm sorry.
I just want the best teams, whoever's the best. That's all that matters to me. I want to see in the finals every year, I want to see who is the best. In baseball, it's a little bit different. It's more momentum, and it's more about who's hot at the right time. Yeah. For basketball, it's about who are the best teams. The best teams almost always make it. Obviously,
I don't like it. I like the underdog. I like the Cinderella story.
I agree with you, but ratings show that people also like to see the Warriors and Cavs. I think Warriors and Cavs will have better ratings than any other
than a Celtics Rockets?
I agree. Yes,
or
I think
Rockets
so.
Or a Rockets Cavaliers.
I think it doesn't matter. The Warriors Cavs will have, now that they have those fan bases who kind of have turned into a rivalry. there's no rivalry anywhere else in this sport right now out of those four teams.
Yeah.
So they don't like each other. We know Draymond and LeBron like to get into it. So if those teams go end up in the finals, the NBA is going to be happy. Although right now the NBA is happy regardless because of
everything going
teams
on
going
the
to
NFL.
Game 7. Well, yeah, that too. But
other leagues in America are really hurting themselves
right.
with things.
So, all right, let's get into the NBA draft a little bit. So
sure.
We know that the Suns have the number one pick, the Kings have the number two pick.
Woo!
You and I are both big Kings fans.
Yeah,
we talked
about
it. About
that jump. From 7-2.
Yeah, so we lost. I don't know if I talked about this on the air a couple weeks ago, but the Kings and the Bulls have the same record, same bunch of different tie differential things.
Right.
So they flipped the coin for the 6-7, which is what the Warriors and the Raiders and the Niners did this year for the 9-10.
Right.
But there's no lottery in the NFL.
Right.
So in the NBA, what happens is the Kings flipped back to the 7. The Bulls won the toss and they had the 6th pick.
And they were. I remember reading the Bulls were like, "This is great for us. We're moving up a slot." And it's like, well, just wait a second. It's a lottery.
Well, I remember thinking, oh, man, that's a – yeah, so the lottery comes. Kings have a 4% chance to get the number two pick. I'm watching it slowly on my phone, scrolling through Twitter, just trying to see update. And I'm going through and like, all right, well, we're not the 7, so that means we're at least the 6. All right, well, we're not the 6, so at least we're the 5.
No, when we jumped, it's like you had to –
you had to jump
to
3.
The 7th, you'd have to jump
to the
top
3. Which I don't know why. I didn't do any enough research on it. But
yeah, that's how the lottery works.
So – anyway, so I'm watching. We're the top three team. De'Aaron Fox is standing up there, and I'm losing my mind.
Right.
We haven't had a top pick since we were supposed to get Blake Griffin back in 09, when we ended up jumping back to 4 to get Tyreek Evans.
Couldn't remember that. Could have taken Steph Curry.
Let's not do that. All right, so NBA draft here. The Suns, number one. And the one thing is, the last couple of years, we've kind of known who the number one's pick is going to be. I have no idea who it's going to be
either.
This year.
I can
no
do a idea. Top three just off the top of my head.
But Porter's in there, I think, now, too.
Porter's making himself into the conversation because he was the number one recruit. Then he had the back injury. Now, if anyone talks to Michael Porter, he's the most confident player.
Yeah.
I'm the best player in this draft. I had a back injury. Sorry. It wasn't my fault. You know, I didn't mean to hurt my back.
Right.
But Michael Porter's going to push himself up into the top five, I think, just on pure talent and confidence level and the fact that he's apparently healthy now. But if I were to do a top three right now, it's tough. But I think the Suns will take Ayton just because.
Yeah, I agree.
Just because. Doncic, or however you want to say it, just Luka. Luka's easier to pronounce.
Luka Doncic.
Yeah. I think it'd be great for the Suns to have him because obviously their coach was his coach in Slovenia. Like, that's the connection. I'm like, oh, wow, this is a match made in heaven. Problem is, Luka's not, he was a point guard over there. He's not a point guard in the NBA. He's not quick enough. He's too big. I think he's going to be pushed to a wing player in the NBA. And the Suns have Josh Jackson, Devin Booker. They don't need a wing player. If they're going to take a point guard, you want a natural point guard. So take the center instead because he fits you better. They're saying he could be like, you know, DeMarcus Cousins without the attitude. He went to Arizona, so there's another connection. Ayton, Luka goes to the Kings, which I would love as a Kings fan to have Luka on the wing with Bogdanovich, Fox running the point. And then I'll say Marvin Bagley because he's just 20 points and 11 rebounds this past year. The Hawks will take the best player that they can.
Right, and I think that's the problem with the Kings, too, is they're going to have to take the best player who they think is the best player at the moment. And because there's so many of these names up in the air, we've seen the Kings make errors in this situation.
They just need to take whoever the Suns don't take, in my opinion. I don't want Marvin Bagley just because we have Harry Giles, and they seem to really like what they can have in Harry Giles.
I've heard that Harry Giles is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, in practice.
He might be their best player right now.
He was the number one recruit, too, like a Michael Porter, and then he got hurt.
Yeah.
People forget, he could have played all last year. Like, there was no health concerns. The Kings were just like, we don't want to play you.
Yep.
So I don't think they take a power forward, especially when Marvin Bagley has so many defensive issues.
He does.
Take Luka or take Ayton, but if you take Ayton, then you have a problem because you need to trade Willie Cauley-Stein. Well, I like Willie. I'm a Willie fan.
I am too, but I also think that he's nearing his ceiling.
Yeah, and he's in his contract year.
Yeah, which might be good because players usually play better in their contract year. But
I'd give him a short extension. They have so much money to spend, and I don't know how they're going
to
spend it.
You're right, they have
to.
What's the minimum nowadays? I know the last year basically we signed George Hill because of the minimum, but now we traded him away.
I would hope to not make it a huge contract. I would re-sign Cauley-Stein if we don't end up taking Ayton, the Kings. I'm saying we because I'm a diehard King fan.
Right.
Sign him to a 3-year extension for $22 million or something. I don't know. I'm ballparking.
I don't think you can sign him for that little.
You don't think? I don't know either.
You can't do an extension for that little. All right. So today we covered quite a bit of stuff. I think the Warriors force a Game 7. I think they win Game 7. You said they think the Rockets. You're taking a bold statement that the Rockets will win Game 6.
They don't want to, don't want to send it back.
I think you're crazy. They don't want to send it. They just don't have a choice because the Warriors are going to win an Oracle. And I think – I don't know what the spread is in the Game 7 in the Eastern Conference, but I think I'll take LeBron and the Cavs. It's hard to bet against LeBron.
So you're going to pick Cavs or Warriors for the fourth straight
Cavs and Warriors for the
Cavs,
fourth straight
Cavs, you're bold.
Year. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Thank you to Sam Comente who joined us throughout this – day, and of course our lovely producer Jared King. We hope you guys have a great rest of your weekend, and we hope you have a pocket full of sunshine.
This is not that song, but
oh, what is it? Unwritten.
Yeah,
same artist. Yeah, have a great weekend, everybody.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143.